Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by Mike Wheeler. Mike is very, very well known across the Salesforce ecosystem for helping many, many people get into the ecosystem and continue learning about the Salesforce platform. He has trained over 110,000 Salesforce students and is continuing to grow that number by the day. Through this episode, we talk about his career before Salesforce and how he found his way into the Salesforce ecosystem, and also a little bit about the roles that he played through his hands-on Salesforce journey. We talk about where the idea for the training business came from and how he got started. And we also talk about the growth of the demand for Salesforce courses online and where he's seeing kind of the most demand right now. We also talk about how people can kind of prepare themselves and make sure they're well placed to secure all of the opportunities that Salesforce are talking about with the growth that they expect in the job market over the coming years. We talk about the non-technical skills that companies look for and people should be focusing on and really upskilling around. And we also talk about how people can create their own experience rather than solely relying on online platforms, but actually using some of their own initiative and knowledge to build things outside of platforms like Trailhead to really differentiate themselves from the rest of the market. We talk about the plans for his platform moving forward and just a really interesting chat around everything that he does to provide lots of ongoing training and support for the Salesforce ecosystem. And I really hope you'll enjoy this episode. If you do, please do subscribe for future episodes that are coming through. So Mike, thanks so much. Obviously a long way apart today, but great to be able to use technology and get you in for a chat.
Yes, thank you, Ben. Excited to be here.
Yeah, great. Look, I think a lot of our listeners already will know who you are. I think your personal brand and the value you have added personally to the Salesforce ecosystem is well known. I guess what a lot of people might not know is your journey up until this point. So I'm keen to discuss that a little bit. So what was your career before Salesforce?
So I've done several different things in the past. Probably primarily my career was in technical writing. And I spent about 15 years writing manuals and learning systems quickly. I used to joke that I would write the manuals that no one would read, basically. And I also became familiar with building out websites using WordPress. Back when, I guess, the internet was first born, I remember learning HTML and building like static websites, that sort of thing. And then more around 2009 timeframe, I got involved in affiliate marketing, launched some websites. I was behind some kind of viral hits related to the Snuggie. That would be SnuggieSightings.com and SnuggiePubCrawls.com. So I've done a lot of different things. And then after the wave of the Snuggie kind of died down, it was in a Barnes & Noble bookstore where I was perusing what I call the nerd aisle. Excuse me, hopefully I don't offend anybody, but I'm a nerd at heart. And I was always looking for some technology that would enable me to quickly and easily create something, much like WordPress did back when Snuggie was at its zenith. And I think this was about 2011, I discovered a book about Salesforce and developing on the platform, and it just really clicked with me. I saw the demand and how approachable it was, and it just made sense for me. So I did a career pivot at that point and went all in with pursuing getting certified and then getting a job. So that's how that played out.
And at that point then, so you, when you say you went all in on getting certified, what was available at that point to kind of help you with that journey of getting certified?
Not a lot. I had that book that I purchased at the bookstore. And then at that time, Salesforce did have on iTunes replays of one of their, back then it was the developer certification, the Dev 401 certification. They had replays of that available on iTunes. They've since long since taken that down and retired that certification as well, but that was the primary resource. And then they also had some workbooks as well. So I was just really scrounging whatever I could find. This is before Trailhead for courses like mine existed. So I was just doing a lot of searching and did a lot of just building on the platform to figure things out.
Sure. Yeah, nice. And then obviously you got certified and started your career in Salesforce. So what did that look like before the training business came along?
So how that looked was I pursued that developer certification and failed the first time. And that was a really good and learning experience because that showed me some of my gaps and areas I needed to improve. And then back then as well, they didn't give you the section level feedback or the knowledge area scores. It was just a singular word, fail. And that's where I learned to kind of record my thoughts after a test and try to remember what was on the exam. I call that a brain dump as well. And then just really addressing my weak areas, if you will, in order to improve and then pass the second time. So then once I passed the certification, I also happened to be in a technical writing job that I was able to do what I call growing where I was planted. I usually tell people to do one of two things, grow where you're planted and or make your own experience. So I was in a tech writing job for a software company that was using Salesforce Service Cloud for their support tickets for their users. And so I kind of volunteered to raise my hand, expressed an interest in Salesforce, and had the opportunity to start sitting in on some of the meetings that they were having with their implementation or their partner company, and started to be involved with some of the requirements gathering, and was enabled to be an admin while being a technical writer, and started to be able to build a few solutions, just enough to put something on my resume to then go to town with updating my LinkedIn profile, going on interviews, and was able to pivot into landing a job within a month as a Salesforce developer.
Okay, nice. And at that point, was the market busy? Like, was there high demand for people like yourself back then?
There was high demand back then. And I remember, and this was, I think by the time I got certified, I got certified July 22nd, 2012. It's a date that lives in infamy in my own life because I knew that my life had changed fundamentally at that point. Little did I realize how much it would change. If I had known then, I probably would have just passed out. But it was an emotional moment, though, when I passed the exam. But back then, at that time frame, the demand was intense. And I remember talking with other Salesforce professionals at that time, either in the job that I landed or in user groups or community groups back then. And we were kind of talking amongst ourselves, like, how long is this going to last? And can this be really this good, this demand? And I can only say that from my own experience, it's only just increased since then. I've not seen it slow down, you know. Now, I know that we're in kind of an unusual situation now with coronavirus and COVID-19. And so I'm sure you're seeing a lot of upheaval in the recruitment space. But up until that point, and up until, you know, recently, when I've been involved and kept my profile up to date from a job seeker perspective, definitely had no problem finding work.
Sure. So, I completely I agree. Like, I got into the market in 2014, and it's just continued to grow. And you know, the demand has kind of never slowed down, but we are in a funny period. So it will be interesting to see how we come out the other side of this. So you were a developer, and obviously you've got a technical writing background. Did you always, when you were on the tools, were you always playing a developer role?
I've done a lot of different roles, and I'm more looking back now. I fancy myself a developer, and then I raised my oldest son to be a developer, and he's just far exceeded my abilities with coding. I'm a quasi-coder, more of a kind of in-between admin, developer, consultant. So I've done administrative work, I've done developer work and consultant work, and now training. So I've filled a lot of different roles on projects.
Yeah, nice. And then obviously you're famous for the training business. So how did that come to be? What was the kind of plan behind that?
So there was no plan behind it. I had a friend that emailed about a large sale on the Udemy platform, and I checked it out, and I kind of impulse bought a bunch of courses. And then that, I wanted to not spend money online because I can figure stuff out. Usually I'm like, oh, I don't need to, I'll just look it up. I'll Google it. And so then I took a step back and thought, wait a minute, and this is the Udemy platform, they were really good at positioning, having offerings that caused me, someone that doesn't buy courses, to buy courses online. So I thought, well, they're doing something right. And as an entrepreneur and having done some things online previously, promoting the Snuggie and doing affiliate marketing and all that craziness, I quickly looked to see what was out there on the Udemy platform related to Salesforce. And there was nothing then that was geared towards the admin certification. And so I tend to think, and this is kind of from my tech writing background, And it was always pounded into my head as a beginning tech writer 15, 20 years ago, however long ago it was now, I've lost track, was to assume no prior knowledge and to be approachable and not talk down to people. And so I knew that the admin certification is where the vast majority of people get their start, and there was nothing there. It was like this glaring void in the marketplace, and it did remind me of prior to that when I was creating these websites around the Snuggie. I know it's like, how does Snuggie and Salesforce relate? I could wear a Snuggie for some of these interviews someday. It'd be kind of interesting. I still have a lot of them in my closet, but I remember when the Snuggie first started coming along, there was this glaring void in the marketplace. There was no website to where you could post photos of either yourself or others wearing a Snuggie in public. And I just knew that people would wear these in public. Little did I realize how much they would do it. And so I created, you know, that website. So it was kind of like history repeating itself when I was on the Udemy platform. This is long before I even began to think about creating my own platform or anything like that. This was, you know, really early. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to create a course just geared specifically to the admin certification and just foist it on the world and see if anyone notices. So that's really no rhyme or reason to it. And I knew that my sons could do the editing and filming and kind of all my ums and ahs and all that. So
yeah, nice. It was kind of like the perfect storm, right? So you had the training background, you had the Salesforce knowledge, and you had that entrepreneurial mindset and marketing slant that kind of, and a lot of people would have missed that opportunity, but you kind of jumped on that and look right at you now, I guess. So
yeah.
So how did that, when you launched the admin course, how much demand was there at that point? And how have you seen the demand for various Salesforce courses grow? And then how do you keep up with that growth?
Okay, great question. So there was a lot of unmet demand, and there it's kind of hard to kind of quantify, but the conversion rates, like when you sign up as an instructor on the Udemy platform, they reveal to you through their marketplace insights. They have tools that reveal what the average conversion rate is on different topics. So I was, you know, poking around in there, and it looked like there wasn't much demand because the conversion rate was low. But what that meant was, and what I didn't realize at the time, was there wasn't a suitable offering at that time to fill that need. And so the conversion rate was low because people weren't finding what they were looking for. So I entered that space, and then there were several other people since then that have copied me, of course. And so now if you look at those topics, conversion rates have gone from like 3 or 4% to like 20%, which is astronomical, really. So that demand has increased. And I think that it's interesting because now I've got this audience of over 100,000 students, and many have gone on to just these huge heights as far as being well more certified than I'll ever dream of being. But there's a lot of demand for other certification courses or things specific to newer things like Salesforce DX or Lightning Component Development and various certifications like CPQ, Field Service Lightning. You know, I think in an ideal world, I would go about getting every certification and doing a course on it. But right now, I'm finding my sweet spot is like the primary five that I have and I have courses on, and then just working on keeping those up to date in some form or fashion. So
sure. Yeah, I guess you can't spread yourself too thinly, right? Because you need the people to get real value from the depth of the course as well,
right?
Rather than just a little touch point on each. Mm-hmm. Another question that has just come to mind is, you must have seen over the years there's been a growth in the demand of people asking for dumps as well. So like completely the wrong thing to be doing.
Yep.
But like, why do you advise people? And it's pretty obvious to me, but people still do it. Why is it better just to have the investment in your course rather than getting these dumps that kind of people are still looking for?
Right. Yeah, I see dumps as a shortcut. And, you know, if you want to be technical about it, it is violating Salesforce's intellectual property. And as a course creator, and I've done video courses and I've done practice test courses, I take great pains to not have any of my questions or any of my teaching be just word for word what was on the exam. And I'm out there kind of preaching this mantra to the masses to learn the concepts. And that's what I try to do, is to convey the concepts. And I have students that reach out and they talk about how stressful the exam was or how maybe they may have failed and how they just want to give up. And that is a good preparation for the real world and going through my coursework where I provide contextually why you would do these things and when you would do them and not just the how. It's easy to say, click here, do this, do that, but so what? At the end of the day, if you don't know why and when, who cares? And so that's what I try to provide. So resorting to using dumps produces it doesn't take any talent, first of all, and then it produces non-talented professionals competing against those that have put in the work, cheapens the certification. I could go on and on. I've seen Salesforce have to take down certifications because of dumps that have been online. I remember the developer one had to be pulled for months, and that kept professionals from being able to pursue that because there were exact copies online. And so it's a shortcut, and you'll be found out at some point. Now, I get that people want to go ahead and take that shortcut and think, well, I'll fake it till I make it. But going through the process of actually learning the concepts will not only prepare you for the exam, but also for the job as well. So it goes hand in hand. So yeah, dumps are a scourge on society and the Salesforce ecosystem.
Yeah, agreed. And one thing I really like about what you push is to, like you said, make your own experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a big fan of Trailhead. But what I find, so this ever since COVID, I've been opening up my calendar to people just to lock in some time. Let's have a chat and how can I help? And a lot of people think, I'm just going to keep doing Trailhead badges. But that like Trailhead is great, but it also tells you what to do.
Yep.
And what I've been pushing people to do is make your own experience. Like you say, like if you're applying for roles, build something in Salesforce where you can track your applications. Like, use something that you could take to an interview and show someone, this is what I've built. That you don't get that with Trailhead. So I think that's a real key thing as well, not just knowing what to do, but why you're doing it.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Trailhead personally, and I've watched it be developed over time since its inception. You know, I remember Salesforce University before Trailhead, and then them migrating all that into Trailhead as well and converting all of their books and workbooks and everything is Trailhead now. And I know there's a lot of people out there that like collecting badges and points. And I don't know how many badges I have or how many points I have. A lot of people out there probably have a lot more than I do. I do hit Trailhead if there's something specific that I'm looking for. And I do assign Trailhead in some of my coursework as far as for supplemental material. I've created my own trail mix as well. It's my own take on what I think you need to know in order to pass, for example, the admin certification. So I think there's a lot of value there. And it's interesting to see how Team Trailhead is responding to what's going on in online learning space, because I see them with their Trailhead Go application starting to migrate into some live sessions as well, and to try to do some more video content. And that is also a glaring void that I saw when they came around, was not a lot there around video, and they're starting to do some of that. So, but the common refrain that I receive from students that I see out there, I've got a Facebook student group of about 8,500 students that are in a group, and a common refrain is that people that are new, they like Trailhead, but they don't know what their path is. And you know, one of the common questions is, well, why would I pay money for one of Mike's courses when it's all on YouTube and Trailhead? Valid point. Part of that is that I'm kind of curated a path and suggested a path for you to follow as far as different milestones. There is some value to that. And that's borne out with the number of students and the reviews. And, you know, I don't make any illusions of competing against Trailhead. And I think that I look at them, or hopefully they look at me as a strategic partner rather than a competitor. I look at them as the big fish and I'm just a guppy, you know. So I'm just trying to add value. And that's always what I've done prior to even Salesforce. That's what I did in the Snuggie universe, was here is All-Star Marketing with their amazing product that was really goofy and funny. And then I just kind of helped it go more viral. So to me, the biggest threat to Salesforce was, and I think still relates even now, is the lack of humans to fill roles. And so I've always been out there evangelizing for Salesforce, trying to bring in new people into the fold, not just being a barnacle on their ship and just trying to suck what I can. I don't want to be a parasite. I want to add value and make people aware, friends and family and those that I know. And, you know, even my son is a Salesforce developer, you know, and I've got other sons that may be going down that path. But you can ask my friends from 5 years ago, and I was always bugging them about how they need to learn Salesforce. So
yeah, I think we all agree Trailhead is great, but I think it's good that people have options, right? If people prefer learning through video and through like a guided course like yours, then great. And other people, you know, won't want to put the cost into a course, and Trailhead is great. And it's good that people have different options and different routes to go down. Your point around the demand in the market and the people not having enough people leads me on nicely to the next question, because there's a lot of marketing in the space around how many jobs Salesforce are creating in the ecosystem. So I think people are aware of that and are kind of coming across and seeing that there's opportunity here. So there's two questions that I think come off the back of that. So what can people be doing now to make sure that they're well placed? Like let's put COVID-19 to one side, and when things start spiking again, how can you make sure you're well placed for these opportunities? And do you have to be technical to start your Salesforce journey? And I know I already know the answer to that, but some people still kind of doubt that that's the truth.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to catch COVID-19 and just talk about once things are back, which I think we will move on quickly. That's a good point. And I can speak to what to do even during COVID-19, but after we come out of this, the grand reopening is what I'm going to call it.
Sure.
Everything rebounds. I think things that you can do is make your own experience, build a portfolio of apps, and that will help prepare you for the exam and also prepare you for the interview room, because I related to having stories to tell, much like in this interview. If I'd never done anything about Salesforce, you start asking me about it, it would be a really awkward interview. Much the same if I were interviewing for a job. I want to have stories that I can tell. You're a storyteller as an interviewee. And so when people ask you, what's the most challenging thing you've done on the platform, or tell me something you've built on the platform, you want to have something to say. You can't point to your Trailhead badges or your points or, hey, I'm a ranger. They don't care about that. They want to see either printouts, or you pull it up on your phone or an iPad, or have them log into your instance if you've had the forethought to give them a guest account or something like that. That will speak volumes. And it can be something simple like a mileage tracker application. And so making your own experience, building apps, building out a portfolio, and then not just attaining the admin certification, but then doing the now what or what's next. And so a few, I guess, things that I would advise, I've got articles out there, and you can just Google Mike Wheeler charting your path. That will lead you to an article that I wrote about what certifications are important to specifically partner companies. Now, there's three types of Salesforce employers. There's Salesforce themselves, there's Salesforce partner companies, and then there's Salesforce customers. So if you're interested in a partner company, which I think is a great place to land, then check out that article, because I go into which certifications are valuable to those companies. And then there was the other question about, do you need to be technical? Absolutely not. I think a lot of people have the impression that I'm highly technical. I'm not highly technical. I know people that are highly technical. That's the reason why Salesforce appealed to me, because I had tried to learn Java. I tried to learn Ruby on Rails. I have books on my bookshelf right there with the bookmarks that kind of stand testament as to where I hit my head on the wall as far as not being able to get through to the other side and be able to compete in those realms. I was just an average to mediocre developer. So I found that through clicks instead of code and taking some of my consulting background and just communication skills, there's a wealth of opportunities around project management, business analysis, consultant as well. So you don't have to be technical at all to succeed in the ecosystem.
Have you seen that, like, you've got a big audience, right? You've trained over 110,000 people, got 8,500 people in a Facebook group. Have you seen, are there some standout examples of people that aren't technical that have gone on to be technical?
Great question. I was thinking of this when I was talking earlier about make your own experience. And I think the ultimate example is a lady named Stephanie Rhodes, who, when I met Stephanie, this was a few years ago, I used her as a case study and an example of someone that made her own experience. And I interviewed her, and you can find the interviews on my YouTube channel for her. At the time, I think she was 68 or 69 years old. And she doesn't mind me mentioning her age, because that's part of her own personal brand. And she came out of retirement as well and was hired by a Fortune 500 company as a Salesforce administrator, and she's still going strong. I saw her on LinkedIn posting about her 2-year anniversary, and she's now 70 or 70 plus, and she was talking about these huge deployments she was doing. And so we've kept in touch kind of behind the scenes a little bit too. And so Stephanie, if you're watching, I'm thinking of you right now, I'm using you as an example, but she was someone that was retired for years and decided to kind of come off the bench and come contribute some more. And she's a great example. Besides myself, I think she's an even better, more inspiring example, someone that's non-technical that landed a job in the ecosystem.
Yeah, great. That's amazing. I hadn't heard that one. So that's there are some amazing stories out there, but that's definitely one of them. Just on your point about building your own experiences, and I don't want to drag on about that point, but it is really important. And I think the key is, if you have an interview coming up on Friday this week, it's too late. It's not too late, but you've left it like really late to start building your own experience, right? What you need to do is plan for interviews that are coming up in 3 months' time, and then you have got a full portfolio. It's not just about like a couple of little bits of work that you do. It's about building something that you can show a suite of different pieces of experience to a customer and get them to buy in. This person is passionate. They think outside the box and they can actually do the job they're applying for. I think that's the key. Because a lot of people kind of leave it last minute and then try and run around to build something in a couple of days that isn't going to really showcase their skills.
Yeah, I think that's a very great point. And this is kind of touching on, this is another, I guess, mantra that I have that I've kind of talked privately even before Salesforce and kind of instilled in my own kids. And now I'm starting to speak more publicly about it, is this idea of becoming a creator in a consumption world. The idea behind that is that most people in our society just want to consume content. And if you want to succeed, especially in the economy of now, you need to learn how to become a creator in this consumption society. And that's why Salesforce resonated with me. That's why prior to Salesforce, WordPress resonated with me and a few other tools since then and before then as well. I could go on and on. And anytime I find a tool that enables me to create something that piques my interest, you know. And so with Salesforce, it is a tool that enables you to be a creator in consumption world. And so when you're talking about just cramming 3 days before an interview, how much better to have been working and leading up to that for months prior? It's kind of the old saying, when's the best time to plant a tree? Well, it was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And So if you do have an interview, those of you that are watching this, if you have an interview on Friday, go ahead and cram and get started. You may not get hired, but that will be some groundwork that you're laying and just always be creating, you know. And I think that that's something that I believe at my core, and that's something that I think I walk out and exemplify what I'm doing. I'm always creating new content. And if you watch what I do online, I'm out there creating new stuff. Some of it's a hit, some of it's a flop. But you don't know until you try, you know. And so I would encourage people to be building out their portfolio and giving it enough time to add some complexity. And, you know, if I were to look at what all I had built now 4 or 5 years ago when I was starting this journey teaching online, I would have been overwhelmed. But it wasn't built in a day. It was built day by day over the span of 4 or 5 years. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's such a great point. You don't have to like think of the end goal. It's like, what can I do every day to make myself better and create something that I can really be proud of? So the market, obviously, COVID-19 aside, it's continued to grow. The demand grows and grows. So where are you seeing a lot of people are interested in learning new areas of Salesforce? Like you've mentioned CPQ, field services. Are they the kind of sweet spots at the moment that you're seeing?
I would say for non-developers, if you want to be marketable and stand out, then Field Service Lightning and or CPQ, Configure Price Quote, would be two logical places. I think that given as well, kind of putting COVID-19 back on the shelf a little bit, I think Field Service Lightning lends itself towards healthcare and logistics, which are two that are very much essential. And my mind right now is around what is essential and how does Salesforce fit into that? There's some areas that are really taking a hit, other areas that are really going strong. But prior to all this, those were two that I had some requests for. But I think that really Field Service Lightning, I remember, and this is probably about a year ago now, but you can go back or look this up, Mark Benioff mentioned in one of his earnings calls. They have their quarterly earnings calls, and those are very insightful for you Salesforce people. I encourage you to check those out and not just listen to the fluff and the marketing message, but they actually have specifics on which clouds and industries are growing the most. And what caught my attention about Field Service Lightning was it was their fastest growing cloud offering in the history of their company. Now, to get that certification, you've got to have admin and service cloud consultant. But if you go that route, that can make you very marketable for those that are in the field service space. So I think that that's one that has legs and can set you apart from others.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's an interesting way of thinking about those messages as well. And I would imagine that not many people that are looking for jobs do use that as a guide.
Right.
So yeah, that's useful. And let's talk about your platform and the products that you offer a little further. What are the kind of ongoing plans for the business?
So I'm up to a lot of content creation right now. And so I've launched my own learning platform. It's Mike Wheeler Media Plus. That's available at learn.mikewheelermedia.com. I still have some of my Salesforce courses on the Udemy platform and don't plan on vacating that space, just because of the sheer volume of students there. So what is different on my own platform is I do provide, like my bootcamp series is only available there, and that was geared around making your own experience. Through that, you can build 6 applications. I also have stuff around Salesforce interviews, LinkedIn, resumes, nonprofit success pack, et cetera, et cetera. What else do I have on there? So I've got some replays from some of my live classes. I've done as well some live teaching, which is a very interesting experience to be going live and teaching live in front of a lot of people and hoping that the internet connection works and that sort of thing. And then recently, I've been releasing some new content in other areas on the Udemy platform. My thinking is, or what I am actually doing and the strategy behind that, is putting some effort into making an inroads in some other areas about things that I know in addition to Salesforce on the Udemy platform to see if I can have the same level of success or impact in other areas as well. And that has to do with, once again, being a creator in a consumption world. So I've recently released a course on Zoom, because that's very much on everyone's mind right now, and as well some work from home, like how to launch your own home business. And so I'm going to be doing a series around, you know, what I've done, how I've done it, and that could be online teaching or affiliate marketing, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then beyond that, I guess on the Salesforce side, updating all my courses is on the roadmap this year. And then if time allows, getting some more certifications and maybe partnering with some people on some things. So, and then just helping others out as well. My son is creating a Salesforce DX course, and I've got a friend doing a community cloud course, another one doing an agile course. So just kind of lending the audience's awareness to these other things as well as time allows.
Sure, sure. I mean, you've got a lot going on, but I think there was so much value in this conversation. I think my key message from what I've taken from you, and obviously there are a lot of key messages, but the key one around being a creator, I think, is so important because it doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. But it's something that, especially in a job search and building a brand in the ecosystem, like, people are now expecting you to have some sort of presence online when you're applying for roles. So that for me is a really important message that people can take away, and creating your own experience, which is something I tell a lot of people, but I'll definitely be pushing people towards your bootcamp that helps them along that journey. So thank you very much for your time. Really enjoyed the chat. And you've already provided the link to your online portal, and we'll continue to push people in that direction. So, and if people want to contact you directly to kind of hear your thoughts or ask any specific questions, is there a way to do that via the website, or is LinkedIn the best option?
You can try LinkedIn. I keep up to date with my messaging there, but ideally MikeWheelerMedia.com, and then there's a contact button or just /contact. So through the website, and that will create a case. Got Web2Case integrated into my website through WordPress. Nice. So it's so much fun creating things, you know. So
yeah, yeah. Well, look, thank you so much. Really enjoyed the chat, and I'm sure our audience will too. So thank you.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.